You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are recording live from Casa de Bling Studios. It's your boy Chingo. Thank you, everybody, all the patrons, everybody tuning in. Shout out to all the members of the Thea that's in the Discord. If you want to join the community, hit us up, patreon.com/redpilltamales. I was talking to Rob about switching it, like switching the name of it to where it might could just be patreon.com, or like Chingo Bling Community. Or something like that, just to let people know, like, it's not going to be all red pill politics type shit. But thank you guys so much for joining. I'm having an excellent day, man. I'm knocking out episodes from home. Got to the Blink Studios. Got to go on a nice walk with the fam. Kick it with the baby. Barbecued last night. I'm trying to work on my tan, big die. I'm getting ready for Florida. We're headed to Naples, Florida, March 5th. And got to work on my tan. That's already this Sunday. We have Juan Perez, man. What's up, brother?
What's up?
Fresh in town from San Antonio. How was your trip?
It was good. I could see my son and go over some stuff with him. It was a long weekend.
Yeah, why did it feel so, like, intense? That's what it seemed like.
Just dealing with my mom and then my son and everything, but just with my mom mostly.
Oh, yeah? Your mom giving you a headache, bro?
A lot of times. I love her, but it's just one of those things, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You don't want to get too deep.
I know, right? Like, dude, everybody's going through something, man. Like, people have no idea how, like, you just never know, man. That's just how life is. It's going to be trials and tribulations.
Well, it's also, so I guess the whole thing is like, kind of one of those things where, like, this lifestyle is a lot different than, like, what I've been used to and what I've been accustomed to. So them seeing me do it is, like, they're not on board with it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, Juan, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
You're telling dick jokes to the people?
Exactly. No, so it's just like that because it's, like, I come from, like, more of, like, a structured thing. And, you know, I come from having being married and stuff and then having the big
now you're a rolling stone out here, big guy.
Now it's just flowing, you know what I mean? Now it's just going, but there's more potential in this, and plus on top of that, it's more my speed. Like, this is, like, so far has been, like, super happy compared to, like, I get into the mundane, like, repetition of, like, everything, and it just bored the hell out of me to the point where it was just, like, miserable.
Oh, man. And you know what, man? Good thing you're not one of these people, but some people, bro, when they miserable, it's like misery loves company.
That's why I was married. No, I'm just kidding.
Matter of fact, while you had to grab that bottle of pie tequila behind you, big time. Major shout out to our podcast sponsor, Pie Tequila. You see how light it's empty, bro. This is literally just a prop now because it's so delicious that it did not last in my household. I got this bottle right before Valentine's. So it's gone. This is 100% agave, pie tequila, pie like the number. Some of y'all don't know about calculus and all that. I might have to do a deep dive on irrational numbers and the number pi and why it's such a special number. But the folks over at Pie Tequila, they named it that for many reasons. If you have not heard the episode, go listen to it. It's 80 proof. They've taken the Texas tequila market by storm. It's super delicious, insanely smooth, dangerously smooth.
Dangerously smooth.
They're sponsoring the tour and they're sponsoring the podcast. They're all in saying, hey, Chingo, what's up, bro? You got to do some of these meet and greets and bottle signings, bro. I might be doing bottle signings while I'm on tour, and that would be so magnificent.
And the worst thing is you had two of these bottles, the white one and the black one. He had the other one at the other house, and he took this one, the aged one, home. And it's already gone.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Is that white bottle gone, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't touched it. I was okay. Like, man, could you imagine just getting drunk all night? I won't be able to get anything done.
I kind of enjoy that type of buzz, man. Like sipping on that, like I feel like I finally got a break to kick it at home. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I just kind of felt like I haven't really put my roots in. It literally feels, we've been here at this house for shit, probably like 10 months. No, I can't do math. I think we moved in like July. So maybe like 8 months ago or whatever that math is, but it still feels like we're barely still getting into a routine.
Just to put it in perspective, whenever y'all first got with me or I first got with y'all, the grind y'all had was crazy. Like they were always on the move. There's like no, like in order for me to keep up, I had to like literally move to Houston just to be like, okay, are y'all free now? Okay, no. Okay, now? Because it's just, you guys move a million miles an hour. So.
And it probably wasn't the most efficient moving.
Yeah. Not the most efficient, but, mm-hmm. but I mean, you both, it's just because you both have a bunch of hustles. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, you would think you were the one with all the hustles, but then
you see my wife.
Soul is all over the place.
Her apparel online is ridiculous. And then she does pop-ups and she's in a boutique on top of all that.
And then having to manage the damn storage of all that stuff. Oh, my
well, God. By the time, I don't know if we had, you helped us move out of those storage units.
Helped you move out of the storage. Yeah.
Yeah, we had those storage units, man. It was crazy. But now we're down to two houses. And occupying two houses, but I'm super excited, man. Like this year, like I keep saying, man, I'm gonna work on my tan. You know, I was letting the beard grow, but it just gets a little too straggly, and I just start trimming it down. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to let it grow and let it look decent.
Me neither. I always cut it after a certain point because then it just starts annoying me.
And you don't even have grays.
Yeah, I do.
Where?
Oh, right there.
Barely.
It's grays. I'm 30. I'm way younger than you. So the fact that I have grays already, it's like.
I got a shit ton of gray. So like when they start getting straggly, like the little, you start trimming the split ends or the little long ones that are popping out. And that'll last you a little bit. Next thing you know, it's like, all right, bro, what are we doing? But anyway, hell of a day, man. Been knocking out episodes here from home. Went on a walk with the fam. I barbecued last night. That leftover barbecue is in the oven right now in a foil. And I ain't going to lie, dog. I wrecked it. I killed it yesterday. The day before yesterday, not so much.
Yeah. What have you been doing outside of that? Just cooking and
outside of
any new material and stuff?
I don't know. Nah, just really, man, we have a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that really we've just been trying to like formulate a plan to just catch up. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but at the other house, I put the it's not done because it has to get programmed properly.
Okay.
But I put the pin code lock.
Oh, you put it in. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't here for that.
Yeah. I put the pin code lock, but I might have to start over because it wasn't doing the thing. I was like, ah, shit. And then it was time to leave. But I hurt my knee, as you can see.
Yeah.
Hurt my knee. So, you know, jiu-jitsu and all MMA is going to have to be out of the picture for another couple of days until I'm confident enough where I'm not going to make it worse. So I'm going to see if I can, maybe go to 24-hour fitness today. If my vieja.
Do arms or what?
Just upper, yeah, upper. Like back or something, shoulder or something like that. I definitely got to get on that. So how's your gym regimen been, brother?
Well, every time I go see my son, I don't really – it's just off the table.
Oh, so it's like unless rest
I
go. Day.
Yeah, it's kind of like rest day. And then that's also like my cheat day, like just because he likes to go out to eat and stuff. So I'll just eat dirty whenever I'm with him. Like I'll eat pizza, whatever he wants. And that way he's just not eating and I'm just staring at him like,
yeah.
Talking to him like a weirdo.
Yeah, like when my wife was hardcore bodybuilder, like we'd be. Yeah, that's why she was like shredded. You know, she was fucking swollen and shredded. But because we'd be like at family things, like we're all in San Antonio or we're at Great Wolf Lodge with the kids or we're having barbecue on the by the river in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And she's busting out her little Tupperware with like 16 almonds, like 3.2 ounces of salmon and two little pieces of broccoli or whatever. And it's like, that's my meal for now.
Oh, damn.
So I don't know. it's summertime and we're going to try to tighten up, man. And I'm looking forward to getting in that pool. I went to check on it today, and the little container you're supposed to put the chlorine tabs in there. It's like a little tower, and it drips water to dissolve it. Well, it was empty because I hadn't really been fucking with the pool. I'm like, eh, it looks good. I don't think I need to fuck with it. But I've been home more. I've been home, and I go to service that, and I put it in service mode on the keypad controller so that everything shuts off. I open up that little tower. I take a look. Okay, there's no chlorine tablets. And those chemicals are strong as fuck, bro.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, put on a glove, load in the tablets, put it back in filter mode or whatever, running. And then the water starts dripping. You got to let water drip in there before you close it.
Yeah.
So the water's going. And I'm like, damn, it still hasn't reached the top so that I can close it. Because if not, you get air bubbles in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, take a peek. And I put my face right over the cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, like, I guess the water rose up. So basically, chlorine fumes, like, like, straight to the grill. Just, I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, it's burning everything. And then I'm not going to lie, bro, probably like an hour later, which was today, I started feeling like real gaggy, like nauseous. And I think it was too much coffee. I was fasted. And then I think I snacked a little bit and then took a whole bunch of vitamins.
Okay.
So I think the vitamins might have did it. But hey, that's neither here nor there. I'm 43. You got to take your vitamins.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I have Naples this Sunday. Dude, I don't know if she was able to get you a flight for this one, bro.
No, I'm not going to this one. I'm not going to Naples, but I'm going
Odessa.
I'm going to California, Odessa, and all those.
Perfect. Odessa, Texas, March 11th. You can catch Juan on stage with myself. Fresno, California, March 23rd. So we're going to be road dogs in Cali. We have Visalia, Merced.
Oh, dang.
It's all run. Because after Fresno, yeah, it's two more cities.
And that's good because one of my friends from California actually hit me up. She's like, hey, are you going to be on your shows? I was like, I don't know yet. I'll let you know. And then she told me.
Where does she live?
Over by Fresno?
Oh, perfect.
So,
Shout out to Giovanni, man, all the members of the Thea in that area in the Central Coast. I think Giovanni's going to be there March 23rd in Fresno. He tells me, he's like, man, that's like a historic theater. That's like a good look.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so shout out to Leonard, the promoter. I think Darren Carter is on that show with us, but I gotta just double check with the wife and everything else. Actually, El Gordo Mamon is on that one.
That's cool.
And I think Darren is on the other two. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be lit.
I'm excited. Jingle's got a bunch of new jokes, man. Like, Javi saw it in Corpus. He was like, man, he was like, dude, when did he get all these new jokes? I was like, yeah, just out of nowhere, man. Just he really worked on them, and it came out. We were all trying out some new stuff, and mm-hmm. It's all been working out.
Oh, yeah. I was due for new material. And I got to go back and listen to my sets to just because, dude, sometimes I'll be trying like different tags.
Yeah, yeah.
I rearrange stuff. Sometimes like I might have to go back and listen like, OK, that definitely keep that or that's hit or miss. Cut that shit.
Yeah.
Like really looking forward to like because we're juggling so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so, hey, dude. So at what point do you really. Do you just do it when you're on stage? Like the day of? Like, all right, I'm catching a flight. Let me listen to this last set in Corpus and see how that went.
Well, sometimes you have to. Sometimes you got to sacrifice one joke to try and figure like new tags. Like, I'm going to work on this specific joke, but the rest of them, you get all the hitters. But like, that's you got to sacrifice one of the jokes just in case. But sometimes they come out funnier than before, so.
What do you mean sacrifice the joke? What do you mean?
Like, just in case that joke does bomb, it's like, damn. Because you know you have a good version of it, but uh-huh. To make it better,
Yeah. Sometimes
it's like, okay, I'm going to try something new with this joke. And then if it bombs, you just got to go to another hitter. The problem I've always had is, like, if I try something new with a new joke, like a newer joke, and it was good, I try something new. And my only problem I've ever had is if it hits really, really hard, and the stuff I had coming after can't follow it. It's like, fuck. So, like, I've had that happen a few times where it's like, I try something new and it hits super hard. And then my follow-up joke could not follow. And I was like, whoa. Okay,
oh, well, so the new thing hit.
It hit so hard. Like, because I usually have some, like, a real good joke afterwards just in case it bombs. But then there's some times where that joke just, the little tweak just, like, really hit home. And it's like this gut laugh. And it's like, I can't follow that.
Well,
the next joke can't follow it.
You know what it is sometimes, bro? I feel like sometimes when you wing a joke or bust out a joke that you had just abandoned years ago or tell a joke for the first time, it's something about like just being in the moment and like kind of winging it a little bit to where it just comes across like you're not 100% sure. So it might come across like conversational and just something about the delivery.
That's what happened in what was that place? The island?
SPI.
That's what happened there. I opened up with that just that new. I didn't even mean to do it. It just came out. Just came out, and it just hit so hard that I was like, none of my jokes out. Like they were working. People were still laughing, but it wasn't that from the gut laugh like That was crazy.
Well, yeah, that's so important to like win them over from the beginning. I forget what I was going to ask you just before that. No, you're good.
You were saying
something. Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. So Rogan's Comedy Club, is it open?
No. It should have been open this month because they were waiting for Tom to come off the road and stuff. So I don't know. I think Bert's still overseas, though. I don't think it's open yet.
Damn, where the hell is Bert at?
Well, Tom did overseas, and then Bert did overseas.
So they're doing their international tour.
International tour. And then whenever Bert comes back, I think he's off for like a month or so. And then he's going right back into like another big tour. Oh my God.
Damn, man. Bert Kreischer, man. Let me borrow some money, bro.
And then Tom Segura is like finished touring until he decides he ever wants to tour again. He might not tour again.
Dude, there's okay. I think we stumbled across a nugget about halfway into the show. Burnout. Have you ever experienced burnout?
Yes.
Okay, tell the audience a little bit, man, of a time you experienced burnout.
Burnout was whenever it was in my first marriage so I had stopped working at Wells Fargo because I put my wife through school and she decided to go and get her job for a degree, which is teaching. So then it was my turn to go back to school. So then I quit my Wells Fargo job. She had gotten a job, but it wasn't at a school district. It was like a magnet school or something. But it wasn't what she wanted. So then she ends up quitting, didn't tell me. And I was just going to school full time. And I had like a lot of classes all at once. And so I'd stopped going. And then she tells me like 6 days after she quit, like she waited a long time to tell me that she quit. And I was like, oh, so me, I'm just like a fucking, you tell me what the problem is, I'm going to fix it. Yeah. So I started reaching out to friends. I got 3 different jobs like real quick. It was like I had my mom pull some strings because she used to work there a long time ago at Taco Cabana. Mm-hmm. Like she was a manager, so she pulled some strings to get me in quick.
Yeah.
So then I had that job, and then I got a pizza job over in Somerset, and then the Taco Cabana was over on Southeast Military, and then my ex-wife's dad was running a cleaning business, so I was working for him too. So I juggled them all by this one I worked during the day, this one I worked during the night, after I get off of school, and then I would...
And you were still going to school.
Yeah, and then after that, I would drive over to the Dominion from Somerset.
So Somerset is what, Southwest Side?
Yeah, so Somerset is like over by Southwest Side, over like outside of San Antonio. It's like its own little city. And I would drive basically from there all the way to like Fiesta, Texas. So that's like an hour drive, 45-minute drive, just to go clean offices. And then if I was able to get home, I would, and then go to sleep and then play with my son and then go to work or school the next day and stuff. So it was like juggling all these things. And dude, I was sleeping in the car. Like I would take naps, just like 30-minute like power naps.
This is before you discovered C4?
Before I discovered energy drinks. I wish I would have discovered these earlier, and vitamins. It would have helped me so much. But like then it was just, it was like the worst ever in my life. Cause it was like, I was sleep deprived. I was like falling asleep behind the wheel, but luckily I would wake up. Like I got away with it, but probably should have died a few times.
Damn.
Because I was falling asleep and then I was just crashing out like in
the car. And your chick at the time, she wasn't working at all.
She was trying to find another job. Oh. So yeah. And then finally I had to like round it up to get a bank job again. And then from there I went to the oil field, and that's whenever we moved from San Antonio to Odessa. But yeah, I was burnt out, spent.
How long were you doing the three jobs and the school thing?
That whole semester until I got out of the school, and then I just stopped it all together, and then we moved to Odessa for oil field. Cause then I was like, okay, let's stop everything. Let's go to Odessa so I could get this oil field job that's gonna pay me really good. And since there's no school districts that were hiring in San Antonio at the time, the plan was to go over there, and so she could get teaching over there because they were needing teachers. So I was like, perfect, you get your job, we work here for like a year or two, get the schooling under your belt, then come back, and then you can just pick any district, because they were saying that she didn't have enough qualifications because she's a new teacher. They would rather take veterans, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's get some school years under your belt, and then we'll come back and try this again. That's not how it worked out.
Oh, wow.
Dude. And that's when we got divorced.
Oh, la madre. Man, burnout. Anybody that's tuning in right now, let us know in the Discord. Let us know in the comment. Well, the Discord. Oh, comments on YouTube. I think we might put this up public. I've been wanting to get more of this content out, right? If we're going to take time to make content, we need the eyeballs, and we might as well just get it out. But, you know, all the members of the Thea, man, we're going to make sure that y'all get hooked up with, like, an advance release of the What Did He Said podcast, which is a great podcast, has been getting rave reviews. I sent you a few clips, so mm-hmm. Let me know what you think about those. Shout out to Javi Luna, who's been manning the co-host chair. He drives up to H-Town, and we knock out episodes. We had That Boy T on a couple episodes joining us, but dude, I've been burnt out a few times. I mean, like when the road gets really grueling, especially back in my music days where you were just inexperienced, or, you know, you were young, you had energy, so you'd sign up for shit. Like, all right, we're going to be three different places on Cinco de Mayo. You know, it's like, We're flying in at this time. You get off stage, you're hopping on a plane. I can only imagine Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer, that's like his mode. Like, he's energized by every night, different place, you know, but friends on the tour bus, don't know where I am, hopping on a plane, hopping off on a stage.
Two tour buses now.
So two just for him? Or two,
yeah, one for him crew, and then one for the crew now.
He's one for the crew. Crew meaning like production people, management?
Mm-mm. Well, yeah, but like mostly the other comics.
Oh, the other comics. Mm-hmm. At one point, bro, when I did this one music run where I had a show in Houston, and a bunch of my friends, my manager at the time, David Gaona, he had this is a funny story as we start to wrap up this podcast. He had a, like, you know, the little short bus shuttles, like a little airport, like a hotel shuttle.
Yeah. Like road trip, the little bus.
He had a little one like that. Which was cool, though, because that's like a badass asset to have. I think later he went on to use it as a carpool service to Galveston. Like, people park their shit and boom, him and whoever was in charge of it, they'll take you to Galveston, the beach. But anyway, at the time I had a show in Houston and I was flying out like the next morning or something, or the day, like 48 hours after that. But like a bunch of my friends, like I think like Faye Dog, Flatline, probably Lucky, Eddie DeVille, Stunna, everybody had a plus one. So it was like, this guy brought a person. Everyone brought their like helper / whatever, road manager or whatever. And they started driving because I think the next tour date was like something insane. Like Yakima, Washington, like Eastern Washington. And then I think from there, dude, it's like a day off or two, and then you're in the shuttle. So now at this point, I'm in the shuttle. I think it was like a rental van and a shuttle. So it was almost like it's almost like that was our tour, tour buses. And it was so insane because let me just give y'all a sneak peek of what the hell was going on at the time. So I had just signed a distribution deal with Asylum Records. They're under Warner. And I was campaigning to release the They Can't Deport Us All album. And I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself. It was a long road to even get to that point. And
we were literally just like, we had a ton of posters in the back of the van. Like the road is so grueling that the dudes that came with us to specifically put up posters, like they didn't even really have time. It's like they had to rest too. So it's like, if we're in the hotel and we're getting ready to like do a show and then hit the road again.
Yeah.
It's like poster, dude, we literally came back with all the freaking posters. And it was so grueling that my boy Lucky Luciano, it was probably like a 2-week run. I think like 1 week in, he was already like, okay, this doesn't make sense for me that I'm out here. And I totally get it. Like, I didn't take any offense, but it was kind of like, I'm out here with, we're on Chingo's tour with a whole bunch of rap homies. And obviously there's alcohol. There's probably like female fans and just a little young lifestyle of like trying to be the man. All, of course, all kinds of paraphernalia, all kinds of paraphernalia going on. And he literally decided, you know, I remember, maybe one day I got to get him on this show so he can give his side. But I just remember it being one of those like, I'm catching a flight home. Like this is not what I signed up for type of thing. And sure enough, bro, he went home and said, fuck this. I'm going to knock out a mixtape. So he's like, you know, hey, it's cool being in California and all these places with all my friends and on this little shuttle bus. But he's like, I'm going to knock out a title and just get on my grind. And sure enough, man, he just started dropping like mixtape after mixtape after mixtape. But I was burnt out dealing with this New York record label.
Yeah.
Like having my friends kind of resent me because I'm in the front van, like the big, what would you call that one? Like the Econo Lodge type of van. Like basically where like all the luggage and the posters and there's maybe like two seats in the front, maybe one row.
Like a Sprinter van?
It wasn't as nice as a Sprinter, but it was like a, what do you call those, man? Like a storage van. What do you call those? A utility van, a hauling van.
A U-Haul?
No, not a U-Haul. Like basically it wasn't a minivan.
Yeah.
It was more like a big ass Dodge or some shit, right? And
like a dually?
No, not a dually. It was like a fucking 16 passenger van. Okay. Some shit you could rent from I can't even remember the name of that business, bro, but they used to rent vans. But anyway, dude, I was having my friends resent me because I was looking like the lame, like the square, because I was in the front van having to do like radio interviews, play promoter, have conference calls, marketing meetings. Like you're like in the middle of nowhere. It was just for the birds. It's like, why did I do this again? Why did I sign up to put out this album with all this pressure? And it's like, you just run into this thing where like, it's the end all be all. Like first week sales mean so much. It was just so much pressure, dude. Like I get a stomach ache even like thinking about those days. Just my personal life was in shambles.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely one of the times I felt burnt out. And I ain't gonna lie, man, like as of late, recently, I mean, it's no surprise that we're conducting these episodes from Casa de Bling. It's like, bro, I'm so burnt out. Like, I just need to be home. Like this last weekend where we were off, you know, from shows and everything, I like needed that weekend. Like I saw my sisters. We went to my two little kids, picked up my mom. Mm-hmm. And then I met up with my sisters and my brother-in-law and everybody, all my cousins, nephews and nieces. At the little league softball thing. I mean, little league baseball thing where like my niece's sons were playing. My nephew's daughter was playing.
The recharge.
Yeah. Recharge, man. R&R, like Frito Pie, just basic shit that people just are like
to be normal.
Yeah.
Just to be fucking dude, normal.
I thank you so much, bro. I literally told Rob and Mighty Sword yesterday, we were at the other crib and we're having a little huddle. And I was like, bro, I needed this weekend. And I told myself, I am going to barbecue if it kills me. I was like, I don't care if this meat is burnt, chewy, tough. That's not even the point. I was like, I'm going to light a fire and put some meat on the grill and put on some music and sip on something like a regular fucking Texan human being. And to most people, they're probably like,
Like, bro, what's stopping you? It's like, you don't understand. When you feel like you're spinning so many plates, like you can't even catch your breath.
I think from my perspective, because like I get, I'm in the easy seat right now. Like I'm still coming up. I'm barely 4 years in the comedy, but like picking up stuff from you, Steve Trevino, from John Polar Bear, how he blew up so fast and what he has to deal with. And these little nuggets that you guys give me as far as like all the stresses y'all have to go through and things to look for, bro, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I get to witness all of that. So I know how to prepare myself to get in that seat, because to take on that much pressure, I think John just put out a message on his Facebook.
What do you say?
He was like, guys, I just want to be like transparent with you guys and just really let you guys know, like, I haven't putting out sketches like I used to, because, you know, I'm honestly scared to put it out because it's like so much pressure to like to live up to the other sketches, and I got to do it this certain way. And
oh, dude,
with touring,
bro,
with everything, it's like it's almost like that weight he had. And then finally seeing that post and then everything you're under. And I'm just like, dude, that is a hot seat to be in. And like, I get it if you're a fan and you're fans of like these guys, but like they have to wear that pressure of all that, you know what I mean? And still like give you the time and the energy and then the content and having to completely keep doing it
and doing it and have a life,
longevity of it
too. And dude, I've been in this game for a minute, but like, and have try to balance a normal life so that you can stay inspired,
yeah,
and you can have a life and have some experience to talk about and to create sketches and to be, you know, be at events with your family and observe people. And like, that's one of the ways I write. But man, I was going to say something. Cause you just
Polar Bear.
Yes. Okay. Ready? When he said having to navigate people's expectations, mm-hmm. I am not going to lie, bro. Like it's first of all, shout out to our sponsors, man. Like I said earlier, Pi Tequila, they're sponsoring the Texas tour dates. They're sponsoring the podcast as well. We have like Tehuacan Mineral Water. They're just sponsoring me just in general, right? So they get, you know, we make sure that they supply us with a bunch of waters and we enjoy it. We like it. And, you know, from time to time, their product is in a picture on social media, whatever. So they're great. Their expectations are very clear. Like, I ain't gonna lie, man, you know, with the Tia, and this particular show, like we haven't even talked about politics today. I kind of want to navigate this show because I was getting stressed out over the expectations that everybody had. You know, I was like, oh, I have to, fuck, how do I jujitsu my way out of this? Like, I know the sponsors have their expectations, but at the same time, you know, that's easy. That's manageable. At the same time, like the patrons expect a certain length of an episode, X amount of drops, and a certain amount of politics in each one. And I don't really know. I've gotten a mixed bag of feedback. And some people are like, bro, we just want to hear what you got to say. And we just want to support what you got going on. And it doesn't have to be fucking Nancy Pelosi or whatever, like Ukraine, Ohio. Fuck, what's going on? World War III. The dollar's going to collapse. Inflation.
Yeah.
And I want to navigate this so that it's like, I don't want to be like, oh, it's kind of like JRE. You know, because everybody always references that. But like, depending on who I have on, we can have a conversation. I could listen. I could be curious. I could ask questions and have a cool convo that will ultimately be enjoyable for people to listen on their commute, treadmill, in the morning, background noise.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I was telling Chingo this too, which is like, I think you guys as fans and me as a fan, I'd rather get to know you as far as like, what is Chingo really like? We already know where he stands with politics. He's not afraid to say it, but I don't want him to be boxed in and be frustrated every,
like, I have to talk about these things. You have to
talk about it whenever it's like, sometimes like I was saying on one of the episodes, I was like, dude, some of this, I don't even know how to react to. Cause it's like, we all have like the same reaction to it. It's like, there's really not too much to say on some of the stuff. Cause some of it's just outrageous.
Oh, you like Sam
you
Smith?
Don't we don't need to comment on it and make it funny or anything. It's just like, we can move on to different topic. Like, I'd rather you not be boxed in and just be enjoy what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, have fun.
Yeah, God and forbid. If something from politics comes up, something from politics will come up, like, and then we'll talk about it. But if it's something that you really like want to, like, dude, I gotta talk about this, I gotta get this shit off my chest, boom, talk about it. or if we just want to talk about anything. I think that is the perspective of doing, because then after that, if you're just, I have to do politics, it's like you're doing it begrudgingly and you're just hating it, and the people can see it, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's
so extreme. There it is, man, that you said a mouthful right there. Like, I apologize, like, you know, I just have to adjust my approach to it, because I don't want y'all to be like, man, Chingo got a bad attitude. He act like they're making him. Like, did nobody make you have a political show? You wanted to address this stuff so that people can see where you're coming from. But long story short, I really appreciate the community. And those that, you know, if some people, if they don't like some of these changes, like, oh, man, I wish it was the way it used to be, where you talk about Nancy Pelosi for 20 minutes and then, or whatever, whatever, like, you know, like what you said about Polar Bear, man, like, it is very tough to navigate, to be an artist, to be a creative, and always have to factor in people's expectations. Like, that right there, it just gives you a stomach ache. We're like, oh, I feel like they expect this or they want this. And from a stand-up comedy perspective, that right there is such a big dude. Maybe we'll talk off air and you'll I want to bounce an idea off of you of like, hey, man, if I was to create a master class, what's a master class that makes sense for Chingo Bling? And how could we format a lesson that people, you know, like the jujitsu guys, like guard passing for $9.99, download my system or whatever. But like, that's a gem to let stand-up comedians know, or even musicians, I think. But for now, comedians, when you go on stage, you must ignore the crowd's expectations, whether you're Chingo Bling and you're in your head thinking like, well, I know they know me from music, or I know they know me from Canelo, or they want me to behave like this or say these catchphrases. That's why it's such a curse sometimes to like people that get known off of TV shows or movies, where it's like, oh, bang, bang, bang. You got to do the bang, bang, bang out the gate, so they know you're the guy from Friday, or Mike Epps. They're going to be yelling shit at him. But even from like a musician's point of view, like, how do you reinvent and how do you pivot if you're going to be still stuck with like, oh, man, I remember the old Kanye, or like, hey, Jay-Z, hey, Jay-Z, what happened to them other beats, man? Now you doing beats like this?
Yeah. They see, the thing is like, I guess with the algorithm stuff, what's been happening now is like, you try one thing and something pops, and then we continue to mimic it to make it just as good. And then we get boxed in, and people forget that we're humans and like we have different aspects to us. Like for me, like I went to school for teaching, for theology, now comedy. So I have all these different aspects to me. You were a musician,
DJ,
comedian, you know, you're a dad, all these different things. And you're older now too, where you're just like, you know what I mean? Like, and like having to do the pool and stuff. You've never done that before. So like you're discovering these little things about yourself and having to evolve and then put that into your craft. It's not always going to be the same. It's going to always be different. Your material grows because art imitates life. So it's like,
you got to live.
That's the way it is. That's what it is. And so the fans have to kind of be understanding of that a little bit. And I think for the most part, your fans are, because a lot of them are always coming to the shows like, bro, I remember you for the 90s. Oh, dude, to see you grow and stuff like that. You just have some of the ones that are just like, dude.
90s, goddamn, bro. Or,
you know what I mean?
But early 2000s, big dog. Get it right, get it right, big dog.
Everybody else that's kind of like the begrudging ones that are just like, bro, what about your Orchata boots? Why don't you do that again?
Yeah, where the fuck's Cleto at, bitch? you don't got tamales on you, bro? Why you ain't got tamales on you, bro?
Yeah. So
You know what? Let's end it with this, man. And I'm gonna piggyback off what you just said. One of the best comments I've ever gotten, like DM or some type of message, was I believe she was a female, but she was basically saying like, "Man, dude, you've grown up. You've come such a long way. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you have a beautiful family. Like, you've really kind of, you know, you've matured in a good way."
Yeah, I think I remember saying that one. It was something on, I think it was like the Penny, like the thing you did with Penny or something.
It was something.
With
it was
the
like,
family.
Wow, I remember you. Like at, I remember you. They were like at T-Town. You were skinny with this baggy clothes and, you know, this and that. And, you know, and I'm a human, man. So you just got to roll with the punches and navigate it. But, hey, we appreciate the love, man. We're going to go downstairs and and continue the day, because I believe like my wife has to go to chingo de cosas, güey. Chingo de cosas. But hey, I really appreciate everybody, all the members of the Tia, everybody tuning in. We're headed to Naples, Florida this Sunday. And then, of course, Odessa, Texas. Juan Perez will be there with us. I believe Javi Luna.
Oh, it's Javi and Israel. So it's a big show. It's a theater.
Ah, man.
In Midland, don't be weird. Y'all can go to the Odessa Theater, man. Last time we went, they're like, well, Midland people don't go to Odessa, and Odessa don't, we don't mix. Yeah. Y'all can go to the show. Go to the theater, guys. It's freaking lovely theater. Yeah.
Ector Theater, hell of a lineup. Really looking forward to that. And, of course, please tell a friend, all my California people, Fresno, California on March 23rd. After that, it's like Merced the next day, Visalia the day after that. Tons of tour dates. We're going everywhere. Hit up the website, chingobling.com. All right, y'all be good. Peace.